Blog Talk Radio.
Gathered from, well, we like to say around the world,
within these United States. But we do cross the borders over into our northern neighbors, Canada, and sometimes we cross the oceans and bring on some guests from other nations as well in those areas. Today, we have another insightful program for you, one that will entail dialogue, discourse that you will not typically hear on mainstream media, we're proud to say. And so with that, if you are a regular listener, you may know who we're going to have as our guest this evening and what that subject matter very well is going to entail. If you're not on the mail list, send me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore, C-L-A-1-8, at MSN.com, and then you too will know in advance what the subject matter and or guest will be. So, with that said, I encourage you also to drop me an email, reach out to me, and let me know of topics and or guests that you believe we should be considering or have on our radio program that's just not hitting mainstream media and the masses need to be aware of. I'd be glad to consider it, look into it, vet the information, and if it is of substance, bring it and keep it live, as our bumper tune alluded to. By the way, that bumper tune was the one and only Kinsman Daz, also known as the Daz Band, my own homegrown group out of Cleveland, Ohio. I thought it apropos tonight to play that bumper tune, as this evening I have an engagement that I'm going to have to be at shortly, and I was considering playing a replay from a previous week, something that, of course, would certainly bring some insight and enlightenment, even if you had happened to hear that program before. Certainly, when you listen to one of our programs, I've been told, and I believe from my own experience, you do pick up something that you didn't the first time around. However, I decided to keep it live, having a discussion with a colleague and someone I highly respect and a friend of Progressive News Weekly about the political fray of what's going on currently. As I'm sure many or most of you know, politically, we're virtually in upheaval. We're going through a process, as you may want to call it, of naming potentially another political person that's now being grilled, I'll say, before he is considered for a position in our government. And I'm referring to Kavanaugh. And so there's that, and then there's other controversial issues associated with our existing president. And it's all politics, of course. It really isn't about President Trump or those who support him. It's really about politics. And I don't do politics typically. It's just not my thing. However, from time to time, as the borders overflow with just so much, I'll use a technical word, mess, I feel it's important that we here at Progressive News open up the airwaves to have a true perspective that is unbiased. Now, that's a tough one, because we all have our opinions, which by many standards is considered a bias. So I say that sort of unbiased with a tongue-in-cheek. But it is a perspective that you may not get typically on mainstream media as we know it today. Because mainstream media is so polarized. You know, there's one extreme or another. There's left-wing or right-wing. And never between the two shall meet. You are either hardcore left or hardcore right, significantly in mainstream media. And that's not where we at Progressive News subscribe to. Now, I may have someone that is mainstream left or mainstream right, but we taper that with some balance. We'll never just bring one and not inquire or get some perspective about a counterbalance. So with that, this evening, as I said, I was having a dialogue with a friend of Progressive News Weekly, and he just really drew some thought to mine, and I said, you know, how about coming back on? It's been a while, and I'm purposely not saying his name, because I really want those of you who are not on my mail list to send me an email and get on the mail list. So that's what we're going to have a short discourse about this evening, because I really don't like to get too much into politics and give it too much energy. But I want folks to think independently, and that's going to be the key word here on this discourse that we're having this evening. Independent political mindset. Not necessarily left, not necessarily right, but an independent mindset. And the individual, and I say individual with italics and bold, truly has an independent mindset. You may think, oh, initially it's a left-wing or a right-wing perspective, but if you listen closely, you'll find that it's an independent mindset that this individual has. Almost to an extent that there are some who would say, oh my gosh, he's too independent. But we just keep it live and keep it real here on Progressive News Weekly. So with that said, I'd like to introduce to you again for our regular listeners and to those of you who are new to Progressive News, Mr. Ronald Crenshaw. And Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, let me just tell you, keeps it very real, very live. And I'll just give you a little bit of insight about Mr. Crenshaw, okay? He's a historian of sorts. His breadth of knowledge of history, in my perspective, qualifies him. He's a political insight, and I say insight because I don't like to use terms like activist. I guess you could say he's an analyst, because he's very much scrutinizing our political system. But more important, he's a crusader for equal and human rights. For over 3 decades, and I'll mention his name now, Mr. Crenshaw has laid out the pathway to truth and insight when it comes to justice and equal rights. And it's through his well-researched and derived insight to the issues that are impacting our society that Ron provides his provocative information that's not typically heard on mainstream media. Ron's inspiration for his body of work stems from such greats and works as Paul Robeson, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela. Need I say more? So with that said, I bring to the airwaves Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, and we're just going to have a little short discourse about some too long. Welcome to a Progressive News Edition again. Are you there?
Yes. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I must, I can't thank you enough for such a glamorous, you know, bio for me. I'm, you know, knocked back. I didn't think of myself being that, you know, big and magnanimous that you put on me. I appreciate it, and I'll try to live up to it because, truthfully, yeah, I love humanity, and that's where I'm at. I can't, you know, put down people, you know, on this race thing. That annoys me, the fact of people can only think in terms of race, because that's something that's worked its way to be make things, people separate, and they're not. We have one species of humans. That's it. We may look a little different, but it's one species. And we've got to recognize that that's the center of our humanity, and that everyone has to start to look at it, approach it from that manner. And part of the things that get involved and get in our way is our political economy. I have to say that. I won't say that, you know, we can make it perfect. No, I don't think so. We're not perfect people. But we can improve it. And that's where I think we should, you know, we should try to approach that to improve our political economy. And that would be my opening statement. Shall I go further or anything you want me to?
You know what I want to talk about, if I can, and as I said, I do have an engagement, but I so appreciate you being willing to share your insight, because I know
sure.
that have, as I mentioned in the intro, a perspective that is not typically heard on mainstream, because our mainstream is so polarized. You know, if I want to think left, well, I'll go to MSNBC. If I want to go think right, I'll go to Fox. And I mean,
right.
and they're both very extreme. And if
right.
I really want to think, here's one that I'm very disappointed in, and I'm going to say why, and then I'm going to turn this over to you. I'm just going to get the environment warmed up for you, Ron, because I know I don't need to do that for you, because you're a fireball.
That's all right. That's all right.
So add a little
I'm
heat
open.
In the to kick you off in. I'm really
yeah.
disappointed with one of our mainstream media, because it used to be one that you could you could rely on for some sense of normalcy, some sense. Now, don't misunderstand me. Please don't misunderstand me, because in the end of the day, this
yeah, no.
also is still mainstream. But I'm referring to CNN, and I'm so
uh-huh.
disappointed what happened to CNN in the last, I'm going to say, 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Just so disappointed. It's gone so far, it's almost MSNBC, it's another MSNBC.
Yes.
That dream, and it's almost worse, because CNN is supposed to be, you know, the people that you could rely on, almost like an AP, you know,
yeah.
giving it as, and yeah, if there's some news going on, they're there, granted.
Yeah.
But now, this has become so far left, it is
yeah.
just this thing. It just makes me want to vomit up and spew it into studio, I think they're down in Atlanta. It has just gone too far. They used to have at least an analyst or two that would bring some counterbalance.
Right.
So,
I'm with you. I have to say that. I'm with you. I have no critique
just,
on
sure.
that. Counter. None whatsoever.
So and ask you, you know, if you could touch upon a few things. We only have about 20 minutes, but you know we're going to have you back, Ron, because we don't shortchange any topic that we have on Progressive News, as you know, being a friend of Progressive News for just about 8 years now, almost as long as we've been on the air these 10 years. Actually,
right.
It's been about 9. So, you know, we're going to give you the opportunity to complete your thought, albeit not maybe in this segment. We have to maybe continue later. But I'd just like you to touch upon a few things. touch upon what's going on with Kavanaugh. And I like it if you would consider we may have parents, because when I sent out the notice, I said, please, if you catch this in the archives, have your children listen in, because this will be, since we in some schools have taken civics out, you know, I mean, we don't, our children don't have any idea of what real social, political economy is about, and because we just important things out of the school system. But I suggested that the parents, you know, bring their children into it to maybe give them some enlightenment from a non-biased perspective. So if you would touch upon just what Kavanaugh is going through, the background of what this process really is and what it's supposed to be at a very high level, and then, you know, you could give your insight on that, but then also back it up. I don't want to delve on Kavanaugh. I don't want to make this a Kavanaugh and look at the entire landscape of what's happening politically with this president, and then I don't want to give too much time on that either, but then back it up a little bit more and look at the entire landscape of our political system, because I don't believe this situation that's going on now is just about Mr. Donald Trump. You know,
no, it is not. That's true. Very true. It is not just Trump. Right.
Mr. Crenshaw, that's a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I'll let you delve in that and sprinkle a little bit of all of that, those three topics on us tonight, and then we'll delve into it a bit deeper in the weeks ahead. So if you can just touch upon those three, I'd appreciate it. Starting with, what is this whole thing that's going on with Kavanaugh? What is that process about? I noticed that whenever a president has opportunity to nominate someone,
the stuff behind this is one, that women can have abortions as they desire. That's one of the things, and that happens to be a sensitive issue now because of the migrations coming into the country. The demography is changing. And, okay, now, this happened not because these people just decided to jump up and run into this country, but it happened because of the behavior of our political economy, our political system. In other words, we had NAFTA and CAFTA. NAFTA was the North Atlantic Free Trade Agreement. Then we had the CAFTA, I guess that's the Caribbean, if I'm wrong about that, but it's the Caribbean Trade Agreement. All of these things together sent U.S. corporations into Central South America and around the basically, and drove the people who work the land for, you know, food and stuff like that and resources, drove them, the mom and pa people that did this farming and stuff, drove them out of business because the U.S. corporations came in, took over large swaths of the country, and, you know, started working them cheap. And the people that they didn't need had nothing to do. So where did they come? They started to migrate to the United States. Well, now the United States is in an advanced state of of corporations controlling the whole, or trying to control the world, and that's the thing that why they don't want the Roe versus Wade women to have their own right to have children. See, so because they don't want the population in the United States to go the majority to be non-white. See, there's that ugly head of race popping up. You see what I mean? And this is something that came out of their own political economy of capitalism. See, this is the how it works with one way and then backfires in another. You see what I mean? So that's the undercoding of this, what's taking place at this time. And Trump is there because of what he is, how he is. That's why he's there. But this Kavanaugh thing has blossomed, and the people, Ms. Ford is a PhD, and the judge has a high rank. So now this is a clash within the race, so the quote unquote. It's not just the race, it's the clash behind what the capitalist system needs or thinks how they must keep things the way they are. And that's the struggle, because whites are not producing enough offspring to counter what is coming in. And it's coming in because of the behavior of capitalism trying to swallow up the world. Am I clear, or am I vague to what I'm saying? Because
right.
People think I'm vague.
Let's step back for a moment and recap what I've heard. You're saying that, and this is, as I told the listeners, this is a perspective that most people, and I know I haven't heard it, probably, at least very possibly, have not considered, that there's a relationship between this whole process and the nominee and his very strong perspective of certain women's rights to the inflow of immigration. Are you tying the two together somehow?
Yes, I am. Very much so. Very much
and
so.
And you're saying
because the population is starting to change to be mostly non-white. That can't be, because, see, the importance of race and racism is to maintain white supremacy. Well, white supremacy is to maintain the people who have the most money. See, because it doesn't include all white people. It includes a small segment. Because, see, there is no real white race. See what I mean? There is no real white race. Just as there's no real black race. See, it's one species.
Right.
So bifurcating them in terms of race doesn't bifurcate them at all. So you have to dominate by how people appear to be. Light-skinned, very light-skinned people, then there's very dark-skinned people. You have to bifurcate them in that way, because they're not different species, one species.
But how does his perspective on Roe versus Wade, how does that tie into the immigration piece? I'm missing the link.
As I said before, the immigration piece is that non-whites are coming in. The population of blacks from the Caribbean and things like that also coming in, and from Africa. So you're getting a population that the majority is going to be non quote unquote white. And with that requires more legal rights to non-whites. So you're going to have a thing. You might have, eventually they're afraid that there's going to be a clash. You see?
So how are you getting legal rights to non-whites with this particular nomination? I mean, what is his perspective such that it would curb that?
Huh? Say it again.
What is this particular nominee's perspective going to do that would influence that one way or another?
Well, he wants to get rid of the Roe versus Wade, where women can have their right to abortion. That's the problem. That's the particular problem there with him. But also, now this other evidence has come up about him that makes him not worthy of that office.
Yeah,
and
but
you
if
see,
he is successful,
go ahead.
Mr. Crenshaw, if he's successful, how will that, since he wants to influence that right, how will that reduce the number? I would think it would increase the number.
What number of what? Increase the number. He's going to increase the number of whites? Is that what you're saying?
How would that possibly increase or even decrease the number of non-whites? How would that happen?
Well, in other words, if he can collapse that, then women would not have the right to have abortions.
Which
that's
means
a critical
they would have
thing. Huh?
But that means they would have more children.
Yeah, that's what they want. See, that's what the ruling elites want. But if they're going to have abortions, then they're not going to populate as plentiful as what they need to maintain white supremacy.
Yeah, but wouldn't that also affect the non-whites? Wouldn't they have more children as well?
Yeah, the non-whites are going to have more children. That's why they don't want. That's why they want the whites to start to populate more. They want whites to populate more. So therefore, if you can get rid of Roe versus Wade, then you have a law against it, and that will stymie the fact. Hopefully, and that's why they don't want so many immigrants coming in now. See, the big thing is you saw how they're treating the people that are coming in. Europe, what happened in the Middle East is driving the Middle East people into Europe. That's disrupting their population. And also, with so many people coming in, there's not going to be adequate jobs for all these people because of the mechanization that we have. You see what I mean? So, in other words, we have one thing that the U.S. and the West has done to try to grab all the minerals and stuff like that from lesser developed countries, and therefore now it's backfiring as what they've done in the Middle East with all the warring and stuff like that. I mean, that's another subject I'd have to go into with what's happening in the Middle East, because that's another aspect, you know, of what the U.S. has done and what they have what they have proxies doing for them, such as Saudi Arabia, and, you know, and what they've done to Syria. So, you know, it's a real big...
That's another area we can't delve in right now. But
right,
here,
no, we can't. But right here, we have a fella who has a bad background. That you know, that blew everything out. See, they were casual on who they chose. But they chose someone that was, so to speak, friendly with Trump. See what I mean? Because you can see that Trump is also a what's the word for it? I mean, he's just a bad egg. I would say an unscrupulous scoundrel, because that's the closest word I could say. You see what I mean? Because of all how he treats people. He's xenophobic and all that kind of stuff. But they put him there. You know what I mean? So who put him there didn't care about what personality he was. So, you know, it's a lot there. And the real thing here is about the demography of the United States and how it can maintain white supremacy. Because you see that...
Now,
that's
does that have to do with the political party?
Well, one party is more aggressive than the other, but they all are one party. It's just
right.
That some people are more liberal than others. Okay? More liberal than others. But when it comes to the maintenance of the capitalist system, you won't go to war. And that's what this really is. This diving right here, this stuff is a subtle war going on here. See, as whites wake up, because he's not doing anything for whites really, because he said he would bring the industry back into the country, and he hasn't done that. He never was able to do that. You see what I mean? So they took the well-to-do, took all of the, you know, is taking all the industry out because of cheaper labor. And that's not enough. So they have to bring up the taxes. They reduce the corporate taxation from 35% to 21%. Who does that hurt? That hurts the working class, because they're the ones who produce the wealth. They produce the wealth. So you're hurting them. And, you know, with the tariffs, now you're telling, you know, China and Russia, and you're the big guy in the room. Hey, we're human. That doesn't mean anything. Any human can't last forever. So just as like the United States is supposed to be the greatest power on earth, okay, but that doesn't mean they're going to be that way forever. They're still vulnerable. And we don't need that kind of stuff where I got to beat you up to get what I want from you. You know what I mean? We don't need that. That is horrendous. We're going to destroy the species itself.
Let me ask you a question.
I just want to say, this is not a white conflict. This is a political enemy conflict.
You for a moment. Let me ask a question, because we just have a few moments.
Please.
We're going to continue this dialogue, because this is one that our listeners need to be engaged in. Let me ask you a question. What's your feeling about the influence of a country such as China on the United States? I mean, and what I'm referring to be very frank, because we have to be clear here. We have to have an uncommon discourse, because I'm not hearing enough about this on the mainstream media.
Right.
Not jump on the subject, but now I'm broadening back, as I said when I asked you the three questions, on the landscape of environment. What's your feeling about China's influence economically on the United States? And what I'm saying is, if you're sitting down in a chair right now, it's probably made in China. If you're writing with a pen, it was probably made in China, if you're taking notes. If you're sitting with a piece of paper, it was probably produced in China that you're writing with that pen. So I'm just saying, what's your thought about that influence of this behemoth on the United States?
Okay, what is taking place is the United States has already made an analysis that within the next 5 to 10 years, China will be producing and acquiring more wealth than the United States. They can't have that. They can't have that. That's the major problem right there. That's the reason for the new tariffs, that they're demanding that even their allies produce more weaponry so that they can be muscle-bound for any kind of altercation they may have to go into with Russia or China.
What is your thought about
capitalism.
Back to the question, what is your thought about that type of influence on America from another country who happens to be communist?
See, China is not communist right now. It's really capitalist. So is Russia. See,
capitalist.
But you have to realize World War One and World War Two were fought by capitalist countries.
True. Okay? Good point.
That's where the real war comes from thus far. I mean, in the future, it might be a communist fighting capitalist, but right now, it's capitalists fighting capitalists. Who's going to be the big man in the block?
They're just
Am I going to be able to you out, or you're going to be able to punch me out. Why do we have to have that?
You're right. You know, they really are. They're
functionally. I don't want that. I don't want to have to punch you out. I don't want you to have to punch me out.
Yeah.
That's sickening.
What about this influence? What's your thought? Everything in our country being made by China. What's your thought?
My thought is that we have to try to find a way to get to communism. That's the way forward. It's not the ultimate answer, but that's the step forward, is to start to understand communism, move there, and then try to develop that and make it better. Because as long as I got to worry about you getting ahead of me, and I got to throw a rock or a banana peel under you, you know, on the way you have to walk so that you fall, you know what I mean? But that's self-annihilation. If I got to fight you and beat you up, that's self-annihilation.
Extreme by many standards. I didn't say Mr. Clark's, but that's an extreme perspective in terms of, you know, what you feel about that. Now, do you agree that it's a good or bad thing that most of our goods are produced by a foreign country? Do you believe that?
How do I? Okay, this is the way I have to say. See, if you have this political economy, something like that is inevitable. See what I mean? It's inevitable that way. But if you have a country that's going to be more in the area of sharing and not trying to get rich, because see, labor is where wealth comes from. So the wealth should be shared by everyone. That's the motto we have to move towards. Wealth is shared by everyone. There's no one that has to be the dominant country. We share alike. That's how Homo sapiens got on their feet, by sharing. Because there were no big industries or anything like that when we came on the scene. It has to be done by sharing. So at this point, that's where we need to go. And, you know, so that's the point. I want to, you know, and I want to impress that on you, that's what we need at this point. We need people to try to understand that it's healthier and better at this point to try to move to communism. It's not a be-all. It's not going to, you know, resolve all our issues, but it will be a step forward in to stop this idea that I have to be stronger, better, and all that kind of stuff than you are.
Okay.
You follow me? That's my plea.
Yeah,
That's my plea.
So you do think that it's not a bad thing, or it is not a good thing, that we're virtually economically at the whim of another country, but the best way out of that, or are you saying it is okay to be at the whim of another country if you go into a different political...
country? I'm saying that we share and share alike. I'm not saying that we should be lesser to another country. I'm saying we should all try to move to the point of sharing and sharing alike, so that there's nobody who's got all the muscles and everybody else has no muscles.
Now, are you saying on a global scale or within the United States?
The global scale as well as the United States. It should be started with the United States, but that's a bloodshed right now.
Do you think that if it were to go on a global scale, that a entity with the might of a China would be willing to share, even if we were to align with a perspective of sharing, Yes, they were once communists.
That's how they got on their feet. The United States got on its feet by being able to, should I say, oppress its working class. That's how it got on its feet, and it also was protected by the two oceans. That was another aspect. It was had a, it had that type of insulation, and with slavery, slavery was the the point of its ability to get on its feet. You see, so we have these things that come about, and they're neutral to, you know, the world is neutral to us. We have to try to make it better for ourselves in unison with our species. So we have to stop looking at China being China and, you know, the United States being the United States. We got to look at it as Homo sapiens trying to live together.
Okay, on a global scale.
Yes, a global scale. That's, but I mean, it has to start one place or another. And I guess it should start here and move to the other places. Because it's self-annihilation is coming. I mean, look at the atmosphere, the climate. I mean, the oceans are rising. And, you know, these high storms we're getting and the fires on the West Coast, all that's indication of, you know, of our where we are industrially, you see, and the atmosphere is getting more CO2 and stuff. So, you know, we got to try to, you know, get together on this and stop thinking of ourselves as you're white or you're Oriental or you're African, and you know, because it's one species. I have to say that over and over, because you know, I grew up thinking, you know, I was an inferior African, but that has changed. But I don't see that because I grew up that way that I have to look about other people as being demonic, and I'm not. You see what I mean? So I want to erase that. You see what I mean? Because I don't see white people as innately being my enemy. They're not my enemy. Yeah. I have to look at it that way because that's the way it is. We are a species, and we've come into a phase of our lives of where we've segmented things out, and we have to try to get back to realizing who we really are. That's a struggle. That's a struggle for me. It should be a struggle for everyone. But we need that struggle.
Wow. Ron, when we get to that point, I think, you know, that's a panacea.
Right.
And I would say I can align with what you're saying there. My only thought is realism. The realism
is the struggle.
That's the realism.
Realism is the realism.
Will a power that has the influence of that China has, and looking at those leaders in Russia and China, would they be willing to give up that stronghold that they have? It's gonna be very interesting. You know, we're gonna have to close it at this point. Ron, would you be willing to come back and continue this dialogue? This is truly.
And you want me? I'm willing. Of course, this is my passion, and you know that's what I have to say. This is my passion. It's something I can't do alone. I have to try to spread the word for people to realize that there is another way. And, you know, that's what it is. We have to struggle because we can't assume that China and Russia has to happen with their turnover the same time we turn over. It has to happen in steps, and that's a struggle. And, you know, it's been in China, it's been in Russia. It can come back very much. It can come back just like it changed. It can come. It can change again, and it can change here, most of all.
That's a wonderful thought, Ron.
It can here.
Ron Crenshaw, I want to thank you for taking the time out this evening.
My pleasure.
Perspective, folks. I know many of you are listening to us. I feel like I'm talking to the future because I know many of our listeners right now are listening through the archives. Isn't that kind of strange, Ron? You're talking to people that are not live with us, but they're listening into the archives. And I want to say a welcome to you, even though you're not live and we didn't have the time this evening to really open the lines up. But when Crenshaw comes, we're going to have more lead time of him coming on. So when the emails go out to the listeners nationwide, they'll know what the topic, the subject matter will be, and so we'll have more of a discourse to have some dialogue about this subject matter. I think it's important because that's the only way that we're going to be able to engage in that struggle that Mr. Crenshaw is talking about. This is something that's going to this is a paradigm shift of magnitude, maybe unknown globally. But
It is. And I mean, you know, 9/11 is one of the sharpest points that has happened. 9/11 is the sharpest point. And I'll discuss that next time. That's the sharpest point here to move people to a socialist system.
Well, let's have some discussion. I'm open for the discussion, pro and con. I want to hear the listeners of it. Because I'm sure there's pro and con to that as well.
And Mr. Crenshaw, too.
We appreciate you. We've been listening to Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, historian, activist for human and equal rights, research analyst, and a truly benevolent individual that cares about our society with a very insightful perspective on how we can make this better for our world. Ronald, thank you again. I would say if just all have love in our hearts at the core, it would make a difference. So I'm going to close out with a little love song, and that would be one of my favorite groups, Frankie Beverly and his group Maze, closing with Love is the Key. And if we
do good, good. Very good.
Because that's a commonality. We all have. We all desire love. So I'm just hoping that perhaps that as a foundation will bring us together with that one accord to make that struggle a common one. Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw. Thank you, Ronald.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the archive. Thank you. And please, love it. Tell someone that you do love, you love them. Because you don't know when you'll have that opportunity again. Let's make a difference, folks. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Tune in with us next week. We'll be coming to you live, keeping it live more than likely, and looking for your input and perspective. I'm in.